Chapter 17. Unknown to me, and there was no reason it should have been known to me because I was such a newcomer to the community and certainly not involved in judicial affairs, and besides, I literally had my hands full of Ginger, and for a few wonderful hours we lost interest in the trial. A secret meeting took place shortly after adjournment on Wednesday. Ernie Gaddis went to Harry Rex's office for a post-trial drink, and both admitted they were sick over Lydia's testimony. They began making phone calls, and within an hour, they had rounded up a group of lawyers they could trust, and a couple of politicians as well. The opinion was unanimous that the Pagets were in the process of wiggling out of what appeared to be a solid case against them. They had managed to find a witness they could bribe. Lydia had obviously been paid to concoct her story, and she was either too broke or too stupid to understand the risks of perjury. Regardless, she had given the jury a reason, albeit a weak one, to second-guess the prosecution. An acquittal in such an open-and-shut case would infuriate the town and mock the court system. A hung jury would send a similar message. Justice could be bought in Ford County. Ernie, Harry Rex, and the other lawyers worked hard every day manipulating the system on behalf of their clients, but the rules were applied fairly. The system worked because the judges and jurors were impartial and unbiased. To allow Lucien Wilbanks and the Pagets to corrupt the process would cause irreparable damage. There was a consensus that a hung jury was entirely possible. As a believable witness, Lydia Vince left much to be desired, but the jurors were not as savvy about fabricated testimony and crooked clients. The lawyers agreed that Farguson, the crippled boy, appeared hostile to the prosecution. After 2 full days and almost 15 hours of watching the jurors, the lawyers felt they could read them. Mr. John Deere also had them worried. His real name was Mo Teal, and he'd been a mechanic down at the tractor place for over 20 years. He was a simple man with a limited wardrobe. Late Monday afternoon, when the jury was finally selected and Judge Lupus sent them home to hurriedly pack for the bus, Mo had simply loaded up his week's supply of work uniforms. Each morning he marched into the jury box wearing a bright yellow shirt with green trim and green pants with yellow trim, as if he was ready for another vigorous day of pulling wrenches. Mo sat with his arms crossed and frowned whenever Ernie Gaddis was on his feet. His body language terrified the prosecution. Harry Rex thought it was important to find Lydia's estranged husband. If they were in fact going through a divorce, it was more than likely not an amicable one. It was difficult to believe she was having an affair with Danny Paget, but at the same time, it seemed likely that the woman was no stranger to extramarital activity. The husband might have testimony that could severely discredit Lydia's. Ernie wanted to dig into her private life. He wanted to create doubt about her finances so he could yell at the jury, "How can she live so comfortably when she's unemployed and going through a divorce?" "Because she got $25,000 from the Pagets," one of the lawyers said. Speculation about the amount of the bribe became a running debate as the night wore on. The search for Malcolm Vince began with Harry Rex and two others calling every lawyer within 5 counties. Around 10 p.m., they found a lawyer in Corinth, 2 hours away, who said he had met with a Malcolm Vince once about a divorce, but had not been retained. Mr. Vince was living in a trailer somewhere out in the boondocks near the Tishomingo County line. He could not remember where he worked, but he was sure he had written it down in his file at the office. The district attorney himself got on the phone and coaxed the lawyer back to the office. At 8 o'clock the next morning, about the time I was leaving Ginger at the motel, Judge Lupus readily agreed to order a subpoena for Malcolm Vince. 20 minutes later, a Corinth City policeman stopped a forklift in a warehouse and informed its operator that a subpoena had just been issued for his appearance in a murder trial over in Ford County. "What the hell for?" Mr. Vince demanded. "I'm just following orders," the policeman said. "What am I supposed to do?" "You got 2 choices, pal," explained the cop. "Stay here with me till they come get you, or we can leave now and get it over with." Malcolm's boss told him to leave and hurry back.